From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast here at Classic Rock 98.1, londonnewstoday.ca, and wherever you get your podcasts. And I want to talk about the music scene here in London today. And who better to talk about the music scene in London with than Mario Schicelli, who, of course, is the founder and chair of the Forest City London Music Awards. And Mario, I am really excited to have you here. I'm really excited to talk about what's going on with the awards, what's going on with music in the community. Thank you for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me. And I have to say, too, I really appreciate the fact that you guys do a lot of local content. It's really important this day and age. And to have a partner, a broadcaster in this area that reflects our community is so needed and greatly appreciated.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you so much for saying that. We're very proud of the stuff we do here. Either on Classic Rock 98.1 or on the podcast, which I should mention is powered by our friends over at Downtown London and at the Covent Garden Market. Mario, we have the awards coming up June 9th to 16th. What's going to be happening during Music Week this year?
Well, first of all, we're so proud that this is going to be our 22nd year, 22 wow. years. When we started this in 2002 at Ye Olde Club Phoenix on Richmond Street, it was a great evening. We never knew, we never imagined that 22 years later, we would still be doing this, and actually Canada's longest standing and perhaps only city-specific awards program. So yeah, as you mentioned, we curate for City London Music Week, which is Canada's only city-specific music celebration, and it runs from June 8th to the 16th. It starts with a kickoff show on Dundas Place on the 8th, and that's our live outdoor concert, free. And then the rest of the week is bookended by our two award shows. So on the 9th is the Classical Jazz World Music Award Show at Aeolian Hall. Mm-hmm. And then on the 16th, we culminate with we loosely call it the pop rock categories. That's where everything else goes. That's the 16th at the London Music Hall.
Well, that sounds so great, and I'm excited for it once again. It's just it's a cool community event, and obviously when we had the pandemic stuff going on, and we really missed those cool community events, so it's now good to be sort of back in the swing of things and doing this every year again.
It is, and I'm glad you mentioned the pandemic, because I'm a creature of research and reading, and it was interesting that during the pandemic, when we were asked to shelter in place or isolate, mm-hmm. most people turn to music,
absolutely,
books, and cinema. And it kind of highlighted the importance of the arts in life. And we hope that we can continue to accentuate that. But we've had a great music scene here in London forever. London mm-hmm. has always been a place of music.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, we've got the UNESCO Music City designation, all that stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about sort of the 10,000-foot view of London as a music city with you. But what are you most excited about for the awards, or what are you really looking forward to when we get into June?
Well, what really jazzes me is the opportunity to celebrate the careers, celebrate the year that people had in music. Just so you know, the awards program celebrates over 200 musicians are nominated in all the categories from jazz vocal to hip hop and DJ. So all of the categories will basically celebrate and embrace some 200 mm-hmm. musicians. And that's what really pumps me up, because the genesis, Craig, for the whole project was that, hey man, London has a really cool music scene. But more importantly, some of these musicians are really, really good. And they would be at home on any stage, anywhere in the world. So let's encourage them. Let's support them. Let's celebrate them and bring everyone together as a community. So that's kind of the exciting piece for me as someone who's involved on the, you know, on the ground floor, putting the Music Week together and putting the award show together. And the other part is how excited the community gets about being nominated, or a friend or a colleague is nominated, and how excited people get when they actually win award. And most people are just happy to be nominated, mm-hmm. to be in the conversation, to be considered.
Yeah, get some recognition and so forth. And I know that nominations are still open, right?
Nominations actually continue until April 30th mm-hmm. at 11:59 p.m.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So we got a little bit of time.
We got some time to get out there and vote. Go to the website, fclma.ca, and right on the front page there is a vote now, and you can go ahead and vote in all of the categories or just some of them that you feel comfortable in. And just so you know, too, last year we had over 60,000 unique votes, which is phenomenal.
Awesome.
And
that's
it's
really
not
cool.
just London.
Yeah.
So there's all of Ontario. There are parts of Canada, because as people are voting, we get a snapshot of where the votes are coming in from. There's votes coming in from the U.S. and votes coming in from Europe. So it's
wow.
really exciting.
Yeah, that's very cool. So if it's, you know, people that know the artists that happen to be living there, or family, friends, whatever
yeah.
it is. It's still cool. It's kind of become a thing that's, that stretches well outside of London's borders.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, people who have friends, an artist like, you know, Sarah Smith or Pro Wrestling the Band, mm-hmm. who's just went over and did some shows in the UK. They're making friends there, and they're telling people about the London music scene, and they're telling people about the London Music Awards. So then they reach out to them and say, hey, send us give us a vote. You know, mm-hmm. give us a nod.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's cool, and I'm glad it's drawn so much attention, so I'm looking forward to the events that come along with that and all of Music Week. I think it's going to be really fun. Let's talk about the city of London as a music place right now. So we've got the UNESCO Music City designation. We've got all these great musicians that are here. That's awesome. Do we do enough as a city to collectively foster that, do you think? Do we do enough as a community to say, okay, let's really, really push this? We have the awards. Awards are great. But do we need to do more than that, do you think?
Well, that's the $20,000 question. Mm-hmm. Do we need to do more? Of course. You can always do more. I mean, we do our small part, which is, you know, because combined with the Music Awards, we also curate Canada's only city-specific Music Hall of Fame. So we see our job as preserving the rich mm-hmm. musical history, and then celebrating, encouraging, and supporting. And we do that through a number of different ways. The preserving is through the London Music Hall of Fame, the celebrating, the two award shows, and the showcases that we do throughout London Music Week, and then the encouraging and the supporting is through events like the High School Battle of the Bands,
yeah.
which will be on the 14th at the London Music Hall, and our FCLMA Ken Palmer Bursary, where annually we hand out two $1,000 bursaries to graduating high school music students who are intending to go on to post-secondary education in music. And over the last, I think it's 6 or 7 years, we've given out over $15,000. So we do our little piece. Can others do more? I mean, we can do more. Others certainly can do more. We know the value. I know you do. You know the value of music and art. But it's a tough sell in this day and age. The economy is tight. Governments are having to make some really tough decisions. And just like anything else, any other organization, you get rid of things when you need to cut and trim. You get rid of things that you think don't have as much value. And sometimes that decision is made on the backs of the arts.
Yeah, and that's the part that, and here's the thing. There's always going to be discussion over what needs to be funded and what needs to be mm-hmm. not funded, tax time and mm-hmm. budget time, all that stuff. And that's never, ever going to go away. However, I think that there are things that you can do for $0 that can encourage things. When we talk about, and this is a city where we had to have a brawl to get bands to be able to play on patios. You know what
true.
I mean? It's just
very
like,
true.
Why? Like, yeah. that doesn't cost any money. We can do that for free. Why do we have to fight about this, right? It's just, it's stuff like that. Just kind of feels like we get in our own way sometimes. However, I will say this. I think we're better about that over the last few years, and we've seen some improvements there. Do you agree?
Yeah, we've seen some improvements. Like you said, the music on the patios, yep. and sometimes we're able to extend the hours for events, whether right. it's New Year's Eve, and the focus on that. The last at least 7 years has been on local talent, Canada Day, those kinds of things, special events. We're extending the hours, so that certainly helps. Again, as you mentioned, the music on the patios really helps the city putting in a loading zone or unloading zone signs in front of venues to make it easier for musicians and production companies to haul gear in and out. That really helps. I think what's tough is that we're losing venues in London. And
yeah.
there aren't as many venues as there were, let's say, just 5 years ago,
right.
let alone 25 years yeah. ago.
And a lot of that, well, I shouldn't say a lot of that, but some of that at the very least was pandemic stuff, and the folks who were running those places weren't making any money. So now we're out of that. So maybe we hopefully see a resurgence. But you're right. There's the places to go hear live music. They just aren't as numerous as they were.
And they're falling frequently, unfortunately. Just recently, Dundas and Sons closed down.
Yeah.
There was a time, and I don't want to be nostalgic, there was a time when I was in high school and university where you can go downtown. And even not knowing who was playing, you could jump between 10 and 15 different venues and watch local artists, national touring artists, international touring artists, and that's kind of dried up. And unfortunately, Niels, I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
There's
no magic bullet. I was just going to ask you, what do we do about it? And it's tough because, you know, there's going to be a need for private funding for this stuff. So do people think they can make money off of it? And there's that whole conversation to be had, too.
For sure. And I think, you know, there's a dichotomy. There's a two-street approach. I mean, we need to value the arts. Mm-hmm. The other is we need to create the conditions to make some of these entrepreneurs, these restaurateurs, these venue owners, create the conditions to make things easier for them.
Right, of course.
It's in our vested interest that they succeed.
Right.
I'm not so sure we're there yet. From a municipal standpoint, from a governance standpoint, I'm not so sure that we're taking the bull by the horns, as it were, and creating the conditions. I'm a big fan, and I purport that any important movement, any important evolution or revolution starts from the ground up. It's always from the people up. You can't legislate it. You can't decree. You can't just all of a sudden implement it and say, we are this. If you don't have a critical mass behind it, if you don't have the general people population behind it, it's going to fail. So creating the favorable conditions for these venues to thrive and succeed is very, very important. I'm not sure we're there yet.
How do we create those favorable conditions then? What advice would you have if someone wanted to make sure that they were doing this?
Well, making things easier for them, whether it's tax breaks, mm-hmm. Whether it's giving them incentives to not only bring in live entertainment, but from our standpoint, local live entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what that would look like, whether perhaps they get a credit for the number of acts that they bring in or some kind of rebate. Obviously, promotion. I know that we're trying our best to promote who's doing what. And we also need the local community, local mm-hmm. broadcasters to get behind it. And there was a time when I remember radio stations used to do live concerts from various events, live from Kelly's, live from Norma Jean's, live from Eastside. Those things aren't happening any longer as well. And even though those types of events don't necessarily drive people into the venue, it makes people aware of what's happening. And they may be listening to a live show, live from venue, whatever, at this point, and then say, you know what, that sounded really cool. Mm-hmm. Next week, let's head down there.
Yeah.
And you're developing that critical mass. So there's a couple things that can be done to lay the foundation, lay the seeds for these venue owners, these entrepreneurs to be successful.
Yeah, and I think those are definitely definitely worth the time. And you mentioned sort of getting local acts in. That's part of it as well. And have it so maybe the acts can play a little bit longer, and have it so we don't maybe have the same level of restriction on outdoor as far as how loud the act might be, and you know, stuff like that. Just like, you know, we can just like take the barriers out of the way and make it so it's more of a sprint than a hurdles race.
Exactly, and embrace them, and promoters and I'm talking about some of the bigger promoters in this area and in this region, embracing local talent. I like what Ribfest has been doing the last few years, yeah. And they made a concerted effort to most of their talent, if not all of it. I'm not 100% sure, but I know that most of the talent that you can go and see during that event is all local. Well, that's a great way. Is there an opportunity for some of the bigger promoters, if they're bringing in a band of even national or international clout, to attach a local band to the bill? And I know that usually a touring band, Snoop Dogg, as
sure.
an example, who's going to come, right?
Going to be here, yeah.
That's right. He's coming to town. He'll probably travel with his own entourage, and in that contract, it explicitly states that, you know, this person's going to open his. But what's to stop the venue from saying, okay, well, before that show officially starts, mm-hmm. we'll have like a pre-show
yeah.
with two or three local acts, or put them, if they're not in the main venue, the Bud Gardens,
yeah.
put them outside,
yeah.
Put them in the restaurant area,
the market or whatever.
Thereby yeah. creating a bigger event and allowing some of the local artists to be attached to a Snoop Dogg show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense to me. And there are, you know, we mentioned that there's a shortage of venues compared to what it used to be, and it's true. But there are some cool venues doing some cool stuff. And I think about what's going on downtown. Bud Gardens obviously is big show. That's 9,000 mm-hmm. seats. But like the music hall, the people at the music hall do a really, really great job. There's just and you know, you mentioned Eastside and some of these other places. You can still go and find places to find live music in London. It's still doable. But yeah, you're right. There needs to be more places like that.
There needs to be more. But mm-hmm. you're right. The Emmanuel family at the London Music Hall / Rum Runners has done yeah. a great job, and they continually support the local music scene. They're also our leaseholders for the London Music Hall of Fame.
Right,
they do a great job, and the traditional live music venue is in a bit of a weak spot right now.
Yeah.
But you're seeing places like, and I don't want to, you know, mention names gratuitously, but yeah. some of these roadhouses and venues that are really like a beer hall
yeah.
or a dinner and beer hall are starting to bring in the solo acts, the singer-songwriters
yeah.
to enhance the experience, to enhance the atmosphere. That's nice to see.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Mario, is there anything else that, about the music scene or about the awards that you wanted to talk about before we wrap up our chat here?
Well, as we mentioned, we're proud of the awards because of, for 1 week, we all come together. Over 200 people are vying for different awards, but just to be nominated, just to be in the conversation makes, puts smiles on faces. We've got the two award shows. We've got the Battle of the Bands, the High School Battle of the Bands. We'll have our Women of London Music showcase at Palisade Social Bowl. Our Musicians for Mental Health showcase will be happening. We've got a hip-hop showcase happening. It's just a great opportunity, Craig, for the community to come together and say, you know what? We've got some really talented people right here in our backyard. And they're worthy of support, not because we just want to support our own. That's important.
Yeah.
But they're worthy of support because they're really talented.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah. The fact that they're from London is a cool add-on, but the fact that they're talented is the main draw.
And that's the whole premise of why the awards program started in 2002.
Yeah.
Some of the talented people. And you just look at historically, who's come through London? Mm-hmm. London was home to Canada's first bona fide pop star. Yeah. Guy Lombardo mm-hmm. and the Lombardos. The Royal Canadians, over the course of their career, sold over 300 million records. They sat and wrote and performed the soundtrack of a generation. We still indirectly pay homage to Guy and the Royal Canadians every New Year's Eve when we play yeah. Auld Lang Syne.
That's true.
Which was popularized by Guy. There are so many unique individuals that have come through, musicians that have come through London over that really cement the fact that London has always been a place of music. Tommy Hunter, Canada's country gentleman, had a television show on CBC television for 30 years. Performed all over the world, grew up on a little street just off Hamilton Road.
Yeah.
The drummer for Santana, Graham yeah. Lear, from London, Ontario, went to Prince Charles Elementary School, went to Clark Road High School, then performed with Gino Vannelli, 13 years with Carlos Santana, REO Speedwagon, Kitty,
yeah,
Shad, on and on and on. So there's something in this area that is producing some world-class talent.
Yeah, yeah, something in the water, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mario, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. I'm excited for Music Week coming up. And again, it's all on fclma.ca right now. You want to get there and take a look at who's nominated for things and so forth. You can see it all right there on the website and all the dates for the different events and all that stuff.
You got it. Do yourself a treat. Get out and take in some live local shows. Support local. And all the events that we do are free and open to the public.
That is the coolest part of this whole thing, is that this is a celebration for the community, and we're not putting up doors saying only some of the community come in. People want to come, they can come.
You got it.
There we go. That's Mario Cicelli, who of course is the founder of the Forest City London Music Awards, kind enough to join us here on the Craig Needles podcast, which is powered by our friends at Downtown London and the Covent Garden Market. You can find the Craig Needles podcast at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.